A weird scene in London this morning as police physically remove WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange from Ecuador's embassy. In Assange's shadow, more than 700,000 documents, highly top-secret information from the U.S. and other governments, things like video footage from Iraq in 2007 that implied the U.S. killed civilians and reporters there, or documents in which American diplomats called Vladimir Putin's Russia a virtual mafia state. And it was all published by Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. The World's Matthew Bell joins me to cover the various angles to this stunning news. What happened today, Matthew?
London police went into the Ecuadorian embassy after the Ecuadorian government terminated Assange's asylum. They hauled him out. They shoved him into a police van. In video shot at the scene today, you can see Assange. He has a white beard. His hands are cuffed in front of him. He was shouting, "The UK must resist." He frankly looked a bit tired, a bit stunned. A few hours after the arrest, we learned that the U.S. unsealed an indictment against Assange, and now the U.S. is seeking to extradite him.
We're going to get to the indictment in a moment, but first of all, he was at Ecuador's embassy in London for 7 years. What suddenly changed that he got this diplomatic immunity yanked from him?
Ecuador's president made it clear this morning that Assange had worn out his welcome.
La conducta irrespetuosa y agresiva del señor Julian Assange.
President Lenin Moreno released a video statement and said that his government was terminating the asylum it granted Assange back in 2012, and that's because of his, quote, discourteous and aggressive behavior. Moreno went on to say that the founder of WikiLeaks violated an agreement not to meddle in the internal affairs of other countries while he was staying at the embassy, and that he was even threatening the Ecuadorian government. It's been reported, Marco, that there's more going on behind the scenes here. President Moreno and his wife were hacked, and then personal, embarrassing, and potentially even incriminating material was put out online for the public to see. Seems pretty clear that President Moreno blames WikiLeaks for playing a role here.
It gets a little confusing here. Assange is Australian. Apparently, he was connected to Russian hacking of American secrets, among other things. So why was he in Ecuador's embassy in London in the first place?
All right. I think we need to go back to 2010.
Just a few months ago, most people had never heard of a website called WikiLeaks or of its mysterious and eccentric founder, Julian Assange.
It was almost a decade ago that WikiLeaks grabbed global attention, as you already mentioned, for publishing these massive troves of classified information from the U.S. government. This stuff included military reports from Iraq and Afghanistan, along with thousands of diplomatic cables from American personnel all over the world. They thought they were writing in confidence. This was all classified.
So the dump came in 2010. What happened next?
I'm not sure Julian Assange was a household name at that point, but people starting to become more aware of WikiLeaks. Now, 2012, Assange is in the United Kingdom. He was facing charges of sexual assault in Sweden and possible extradition back to Sweden. At one point, he was granted bail, and this is when he went to the Ecuadorian embassy in London. Why? Because Julian Assange had struck up a friendly relationship with Ecuador's former president, Rafael Correa.
I thank President Correa for the courage he has shown in considering and in granting me political asylum.
Those sexual assault cases in Sweden were eventually dropped in 2017, but Assange remained in the embassy in London until today, and that's because he said all along that the United States wanted to arrest him.
The United States must renounce its witch hunt against WikiLeaks. The United States must vow that it will not seek to prosecute our staff or our supporters.
And now we have an indictment from the U.S. Department of Justice. So, Matthew, stick around while I turn to talk about that indictment with Carrie Cordero. She's a senior fellow at the Center for a New American Security. Assange has long said, Carrie, that he feared being handed over to the U.S. for prosecution. Is his extradition now a slam dunk?
Well, it is a unusual case in that it's somebody who has been involved in the media world. But it's important to note that the charging document, the indictment that was filed in the Eastern District of Virginia in federal court, does not charge him with any crime related to publishing classified information. The charge has to do with conspiracy to commit computer fraud and abuse. And so although his defense will try to make this out to be a First Amendment case and try to make it appear as if he's being charged with publishing information, that's not at all what the charges are.
Why is that important that he's not charged with publishing?
It's important because it is relevant to newspapers and media organizations for them to know that even if they are on the receiving end of classified information, which many national security journalists are involved in sometimes receiving classified information from individuals who work in governments and are in positions of trust, that they won't be prosecuted for simply publishing that information. What's different in this case, and it's the key difference, is that he's charged with actually helping Chelsea Manning, who was a Department of Defense employee, with cracking a code to be able to access Department of Defense systems. So the facts in the indictment include specific information about extra activity that he was engaged in that's not traditional media activity.
Carrie, Matthew here. Are you thinking of the possibility of other charges down the road? What's to stop the U.S. from charging Assange with other crimes?
Well, nothing's to stop them of doing it. And I'm very curious as to whether over time we will see more charges brought against him, not necessarily pertaining to Manning, but perhaps pertaining to other activities that Assange may have been involved in, assisting or conspiring to violate the computer fraud laws for other hacks. So, for example, the big question that many of us have on our mind is whether or not there would be any charge against him for involvement in the Russian government intelligence operation that hacked U.S. entities during the 2016 election. There's nothing about that in his current indictment, but I'm curious as to whether there might be in the future.
Why is there not an espionage charge here?
Well, espionage traditionally, and I think that's an important judgment that was made by the Justice Department, espionage is usually charged against somebody who is the individual in the government who is in the position of trust. So I think media organizations would be more concerned if there had been an espionage charge. It's a much cleaner case for the Justice Department to only charge him with conspiracy regarding violating the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act.
Another thing, Carrie, that's been connected to this whole story is protecting free speech and the First Amendment. A line that Bruce Shapiro wrote in The Nation recently, he said, "If the First Amendment means anything, it is the right to obtain public interest information from impure, indeed hopelessly tainted sources." When you think about that, about the press freedom issues at stake here, what goes through your mind?
Well, certainly that is a part of this case. And I think that that's why, you know, the activity that's alleged took place in 2010. So there was significant debate, my understanding is, throughout the Obama administration as to whether or not he could be charged with something. And so this was a significant step for the Justice Department to decide to bring these charges. But I think that's why they chose to bring a narrow charge only related to the actual hacking activity. And there is a world of difference between legitimate journalistic enterprise when a journalist is on the receiving end of information, even if that's secret information or classified information, versus being an active participant in a conspiracy to conduct criminal activity.
Carrie, Donald Trump spoke about WikiLeaks often with admiration dozens of times on the campaign trail in 2016.
WikiLeaks! I love WikiLeaks!
Could that positive attitude have any impact on the treatment of Assange?
Well, it's interesting. I think the president was asked about that in the pool outside the White House, and he demurred and decided not to comment on feelings that he may have had about WikiLeaks, certainly throughout the 2016 campaign. And so he had a long track record that certainly was making concerning statements from the perspective of those of us who worked in the national security community. Clearly, it looks like this indictment that was brought in the extradition process is something that was handled by the Justice Department and law enforcement, completely separate from any influence from the White House, and that's how it should be.
That's Carrie Cordero with the Center for a New American Security. Matthew Bell, I remember our newsroom when WikiLeaks published in 2010, all those thousands of documents. It was unreal. And also just how transparent the world suddenly became overnight.
It was. And we had information from all of these diplomatic posts all over the world, not to mention that Assange really was seen by many people as a hero for exposing things like that helicopter attack in Iraq and operations in Afghanistan and other places. But the story arc of Assange here, obviously the story is not over. But as Kerry Cordero alluded to, I think there are a lot of unanswered questions. And when you read just the material that Robert Mueller has put out from that investigation, WikiLeaks sort of plays maybe not a starring role, but it's in there. And there are a lot of unanswered questions about the connections between WikiLeaks and the Russian interference in the 2016 election.
Well, we'll be carefully watching the next steps here. The World's Matthew Bell, thank you very much.
Thanks, Marco.